So I've got a bunch of scriptures that I'm going to read, and then I'm just going to share a little bit of my story, and then we're going to see what God does. Is that okay? All right, Genesis 8:1. We're going to remember, but God, okay? I want you to say, but God. And not, but God, I. But God, I. But God, I can't. But God, it's like, but God, you. But God, you. All right, Genesis 8:1. I think the guys have our scriptures. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Okay, just for a minute, try and think, because it's really hard to imagine, that first of all, you build this massive boat, and you hear the Spirit of God, and then you and your family get on, and two of each animal, which again is crazy. Can you imagine? I hate my dogs inside. Imagine a boat full of, you know what I mean? And then the whole earth floods. Can you imagine what that does to you mentally and emotionally? And I wonder if Noah for a minute thought, okay, what now? We're running low on food here, people. Bible says, but God remembered. He remembered. He didn't forget. He never forgets. He remembered Noah. Phew, thank God. You know, after, you know, the water receded and, you know, the ark kind of landed and everybody got off, you know, down the track, Noah had a drinking problem. And I'm like, you know what, if I'd have been on that ark, you'd have had a long, you'd have had to put, admit me to a psychiatric center and I never would have gotten out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we sometimes we look at these people in the Bible and go, really? Noah, after all that and you had a drinking problem? Oh my gosh, give the guy a break. Like, he's a human too. Genesis 50:20. This is talking about Joseph. Remember Joseph sold off as a slave by his brothers? Bible says, you intended to harm me, but God, through this crazy journey of me being abandoned and sold off as a slave and, you know, then in jail for years and years and being accused of rape and all of that, the devil, you intended to harm me. How many of you could say, yeah, I can see where the enemy tried to attack my life, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Listen to what Joseph says, the saving of many lives. But God, your heart's always been on humanity. He remembered Noah. Why? Because he wasn't done with humanity. He remembers Joseph. Why? Because there's lives at stake. 1 Samuel 23:14. David, he's fleeing from a king who is crazy, ready to kill him. The Bible says, David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched, but God, again, but God did not give David into his hands. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail. Don't we know that? My flesh and my heart. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Isn't it good to know when I feel like I am floundering and God, where are you? And I can't do this, but God intervenes and you are the strength of my heart. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. Let's just read. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is really part of the Trinity. No one has ever seen God but God. One translation says, but God. This says, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, but God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, and he's making him known. That's a lot to get your head around, isn't it? No one's seen the Father but Jesus, who is part of God. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But God, and Jesus is making him known. Acts 3:15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Romans 5:8. Beautiful. This is so beautiful. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Timothy 2:9. 2 Timothy 2:9. The first, Well, let me just pick up a little bit in the last verse. This is my gospel for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Whatever you're going through that feels like it's got you chained, remember the word of God is not chained. Word of God is not chained. Speak that word of God over your life. The Apostle Paul says, I'm here in chains. This is crazy. I might be chained, but the word of God. But God. You know what? When I think about, I want you to think about your life. If it wasn't for the but God moments, where would you be? But God. I think about Rachel, who, you know, got sent to us, you know, we had to return to Australia and was told, yeah, you probably will never come back here. But God said, oh, yeah, you will. It doesn't matter what immigration may be. But God says, what's been spoken over your life? Well, there's an illness here that's maybe hereditary, but God says, I've got a child here that's going through a little bit wayward. I don't know, but God says, fearfully and wonderfully made in that womb all those years ago, I saw that little person and they belong to me. So mamas, let's be praying that. That marriage that is just hard work. God, I just be easier. You see what he does or doesn't do. But God says, what's your responsibility in it? So I can do a miracle in this, but I need you to be part of that too. A lot of moments. You know, I remember my but God moment when I was taken to church, and a church like this, and I had a girlfriend who prayed the sinner's prayer with me, changed my life, changed everything I knew about what life looked like, changed in that moment. And I remember thinking, as a little teenager, well, I want to get to know God. But how do you get to know God? When you've had no, I mean, I wasn't raised in church. How do you get to know God? I mean, God, in my mind, was way up there somewhere. I believed him. I was saved. I knew I was saved, but how do I get to know him? And so, you know, a couple of the friends I had said, why don't you just start reading your Bible? And no one said to me, okay, would have been really good if they'd said, you know, start in the New Testament. Would have been really, really good. But no one said that, or if they did, I didn't hear them. So what do you do when you get a book that you're supposed to read? You start at the beginning. And you know, when I was 15, 16 years of age, remember, I grew up and I just was in love with horses. I had a love affair with horses. I thought that was what my life was going to look like. I'm going to be in the horse world. I'll be showing horses. I'll be doing all this stuff. And you know, God in his goodness and funniness is, and I must have looked like I was a rotten kid. Like, I think my parents were a little bit concerned because I managed, I didn't even, like when I look back now, I'm like, how, but God, you know? But I managed to somehow convince them that we could have a horse in our backyard. Now, we're talking, okay, so I was 13, turning 14. So this is 40 years ago. 40 years ago in this, you know, Sydney. And where I used to ride now, there's a motorway, you know, an interstate. But God used, you know what I mean, that property. But anyway, all that to say, so my parents, we bring home this horse. The people drop it off, actually. They ride it to our house. Did we live in the country? No, we live in a neighborhood suburb of Sydney. Like, when I think back to how this was happening, it's like, yeah, that's never going to happen. Imagine trying to bring a horse home to your yard right now. Yeah, it's not going to be good. So anyway, not only do we bring the horse home, the horse comes, but the first time I ride it, because my parents lived opposite a reserve, but not huge, and I fell off and broke a finger and, you know, whatever. And then literally it rained 3 weeks straight. And so we have a horse in our yard, And it rained 3 weeks straight. And honestly, our backyard looked like a bog hole. I don't know if you've been to stables and, you know, and it's just like, you know, my mom, because we didn't have dryers back then, and she would hang the sheets out on the washing line, and the horse, this is so funny, the horse would suck the water out of the sheets, and so there'd be green grass stains, like horse, like, you would hear him, like, who knew that horses would do that? And they had, like, we had, like, this little concrete porch on the back of the house. Just say this is the back of the house, the yard's here. A concrete porch that was probably 12 feet by 12 feet, not big. And then there was a glass sliding door here that went into to our house. And one day we came out, and the horse was up here looking in the glass sliding door in our house. I don't know how my parents did that. And so eventually we realized we can't keep the horse here. It's not going to work because 3 weeks of rain and horse manure and, you, yeah, I mean, it's not good. And amazingly, God opened this door of city property that was right by the high school I attended. So it was a car ride away from my house. And I was able to keep the horse there for free. Hello. It's amazing, those but God moments. But God intervened and found property. So of the whole city of where I lived, five families were able to keep their horses there for free, and I was one of those. Like, talk about, now I look back now, talk about winning the jackpot. Not that everybody had horses, but there were a number of people that now you don't see a horse anywhere because everything's just gone crazy, built up. And so every morning and every night, no stables, so I would sit with this horse. Another random fact about horses is they take a long time to eat. And so he would take an hour every morning and an hour every night. So every morning before school, I would go rain, hail, or shine and sit with this horse. So this was a perfect opportunity when someone said to me, you need to get to, you know, how, when I said, how do I know God? It was like, well, I got an hour. I did my homework in the afternoon. I figured out, well, I'll just read the Bible. And so I began this love affair with Jesus, with God, reading the Bible. Now, some of it was a little, like when you get to Numbers and, you know, there was a lot of stuff that honestly, if I think about it, I didn't understand. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, I haven't got a clue what's going on here? But God used that time. There was a discipline that happened as I began to get to know him. So what was that like for you? Think about when you very first became a believer. What did that journey look like for you? How did you get to know God? There were other moments where I'd think, how do I even pray? How do I worship God? And I think years and years ago, I would just be in my bedroom and I'd just start to sing. Remember that song, I Love You, Lord? And I would just sing it, just on my quest to get to know Jesus. No clue what my life would look like. No clue. But what was that like for you? And what is that like for you? You know, now I pick up a phone. It's a whole different ball game. And I have a First Five app. And so every morning, you know, this week we're in Samuel and we're looking at, you know, David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba. And, you know, and we're just looking at the grace of God in the Old Testament. Because we just think grace came in the New Testament. No, the grace of God was in the Old Testament. And so I'm looking at a king that God says, this man has a whole heart after me, and yet we're walking through his failings. And I'm comforted to know that even in my failings, God says, I chose you. I chose you. So getting to know God. And so slowly in those moments, as I'm there reading my Bible, something began to happen. A shift began to happen in my heart. And so by the end of high school, the love for horses had, it's like this thing, this love and passion for horses was lifted. I would still like to ride, don't get me wrong. But it's like that was a season that just got lifted off of my life. And I walked into, got super involved and connected with church. And then I started dating Steve. And I remember, again, a couple of girls who, don't you love beautiful girlfriends who just love you? So he came into church. I've been going about 2 years. He came into church. He got saved. He's a little rough and ready. I mean, he's a little raw. I mean, he's raw now. He's a lot rawer back then. You know what I mean? Like Steve was just, he just calls it how it is. But back then. And so we would start, you know, started talking. I was getting to know him. We started dating. And I remember a couple of my girlfriends came up to me and they're like, you know, this guy, not real sure about him. What do you think? What do you, you know? I said, you know what? I know too. Like, I know too. But I just want you to know, God has my heart, 100%. So I don't understand that I like this guy a lot, but I want you to know I appreciate you speaking into my life, and I want to walk this out with you because I don't want to marry the wrong person. You know what I mean? I just don't want to go, well, I don't care what you think. I'm going to go do my thing. God, you have my heart. And I just want to encourage you girls, that yielding thing, but God, you stepped in, but God, I've seen you step in because I think I've just tried to, God, you have my heart, 100%. So then we get married, we're in a church environment that's, you know, we're pastoring, but it's not a lot of challenges, and Steve feels to resign. And honestly, we think to ourselves in that moment, well, maybe not. We're not really supposed to be pastors. Maybe it was just for this season. And so he applies and gets a job, you know, and who knows what's going to happen. But God intervened through a friend who then said, hey, you know, our church needs this. Will you come? And it ended up being just an incredible, again, connection and set us up for what was ahead. So those moments when you don't know, because I had two babies then, a two-year-old and a newborn baby, and I'm sitting on my bed going, I don't know what's next, but God, I trust you. And, you know, we don't always get it right, I promise you, but I've just learned living in those moments is just go, God, I trust you. And it all seems overwhelming, but God, thank you for those but God moments in my life. But God, I trust you.